Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick, and with me today I have Julie Kutasoff, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Small Cap Quality Value Strategy. Julie, welcome back.
Hello, Ben. Happy to be here.
Julie, there was a large divergence in style in the small cap space, with momentum outperforming quality meaningfully in 2025. How do you piece together what the markets told us this year?
We witnessed a classic speculative rally in the small mid-cap space in 2025, a textbook narrative versus fundamental story, largely driven by broadening of the AI trade away from mega caps. What else was behind this investor optimism? A more favorable interest rate and general macroeconomic environment and outlook. Small and medium-sized companies tend to be more economically and interest rate sensitive. Interest rates are coming down, lowering borrowing costs for both businesses and consumers. Earnings growth remains strong and is expected to be helped further by proposed tax cuts. Consumer spending, the key driver of the U.S. economy, has proven surprisingly resilient. The job market is cooling, and the tariff situation, albeit still uncertain, has not, at least thus far, significantly impacted the rate of inflation. Another contributing factor was the fact that some quality names came into the year relatively expensive, making the rotation to the risk-on trade more enticing.
Julie, there was a wide gap in relative performance between the strategy's return and benchmark this year, with the strategy having negative absolute returns. Do you think this was a true reflection of the underlying earnings growth of the strategy or more sentiment related?
2025 was a challenging environment for us as investors in high-quality companies. Names with negative earnings, representing a sizable portion of the Russell 2000 Value Index, were the strongest performers for the benchmark. We do expect to underperform in this type of an environment on a relative basis. To better address your question on drivers of the strategy's negative absolute performance, let's take a look at what drove the benchmark's solid performance for the year. We already mentioned broadening of the AI trade. Many small mid-cap companies that rose on the wave of AI spending fall in that unprofitable category mentioned earlier. Biotech, another largely unprofitable segment with speculative binary outcomes that we do not have any exposure to. Materials, a commodity-driven, capital-intensive sector that we have a very different investment approach to. Several of our companies did, in fact, experience a decline in earnings growth as they continued to normalize from the pandemic pull-forward effect. And as I mentioned, some other names came into the year relatively expensive, driving investor profit-taking despite solid operating results. While disappointed with the strategy's negative returns, we don't see this as a reflection of the portfolio's underlying earnings growth. We project growth of our companies over a full economic cycle and continue to believe that high-quality companies outperform over the long term. Let me quantify this by providing a look forward. At the end of the year, capital generation, the source of future earnings growth for the strategy, stood at a solid mid-teens percentage level.
Julie, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key detractors and contributors to performance for the year?
Construction Partners Ticker Road was our highest stock contributor for the year. Other top contributors were RBC Bearings, ticker RBC, Armstrong World Industries, ticker AWI, JBT Marel Corporation, ticker JBTM, and UniFirst Corporation, ticker UNF. Construction Partners engages in the construction of roadways and highways. The company's focus is on smaller road resurfacing and maintenance projects where competition is typically limited to local players. Hot mix asphalt must remain above a certain temperature, limiting the distance it can be transported to the construction site. This creates niche geographical markets, with construction partners holding a leading position in each of its markets. The company reported solid revenue growth and margin expansion as it continued to gain market share and benefit from robust road infrastructure spending. Watsco was our weakest performer for the year. Other detractors included Azenta, ticker AZTA, Choice Hotels International, ticker CHH, Prestige Consumer Healthcare, ticker PBH, and Albany International, ticker AIN. Watsco is the largest independent distributor of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, or HVAC, equipment to residential and commercial contractors in the U.S. Most revenues are related to repair and replacement activities, which, with HVAC being vital to human well-being, are seldom discretionary. Shares lagged, however, driven by weaker sales due to an ongoing refrigerant transition and challenging consumer spending environment. We see this issue as temporary and continue to admire Watsco's leading market position. The company's scale and solid free cash flow generation ability allows it to continue to strategically invest in technology, something that management describes as the company's most important competitive advantage. We believe that Watsco should continue to benefit from its long-term relationships with equipment manufacturers, population migration to warmer states, as well as more stringent efficiency and refrigerant regulation that leads to sales of higher-priced products and faster adoption and replacement cycles.
Julie, what types of changes were made in the portfolio in 2025?
If you are asking about structural changes, none. We continue to adhere to our high-quality investment philosophy and are constantly working on enhancing portfolio's quality, growth, and value characteristics through both new purchases and existing holdings. During the year, we executed a number of such trades, including exiting several names that, in our view, experienced some level of deterioration in business quality and reduction in the risk-adjusted return outlook.
Julie, are you seeing many businesses in the portfolio working to incorporate AI in their business process? Also, will we start seeing the benefits in the near future, and will this push up earnings growth expectations for the strategy over the medium term? Or do you think more obsolescence risk will come from AI in the portfolio?
To answer your last question first, we do not see any obsolescence risk for our current holdings. The AI threat and opportunity framework is certainly top of mind for us as we monitor existing and analyze potential portfolio names. And yes, the majority of these businesses are actively working on incorporating AI in their operations in some form. Some, particularly those in technology segments, tend to be farther ahead, and some are already seeing tangible benefits in terms of internal productivity enhancement and improved customer-facing capabilities. Overall, we expect any significant positive effect from AI for our companies to take time, and in the medium term, are not projecting any meaningful growth acceleration as a result.
Lastly, Julie, do you think the portfolio's current valuation reflects its long-term growth potential?
We don't believe that the portfolio's current valuation is indicative of the long-term growth potential of our companies. As I mentioned, this is how we look at our holdings over a long term, a business cycle. Again, looking at capital generation, the source of future earnings growth, at the end of the year, it stood well above that of the benchmark, a mid-teens versus a mid-single-digit percentage rate, despite a significantly low valuation.
Julie, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
Thanks, Ben.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.